This episode is brought to you by the marking of the end of winter. 45 degrees and sunny is a dream that has come true. Spring is coming.
Welcome back, everybody, to My Fave Queer Chemist. I'm your host, Geraldo.
And I'm Beck. As we enter the graduate school decision process, we first want to congratulate all of our listeners who have recently gone through the application process. You did it.
As you're visiting schools virtually over the next few weeks, we want to emphasize the importance of going to a program that supports and validates your experiences as an LGBTQ plus chemist. If you have questions or need more advice, our DMs are always open. So with that, here's our show. So today we are super excited to introduce y'all to an incredible person, chemist, advocate, science communicator, I mean, you name it. Would you mind introducing yourself, please?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Devin Swiner. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I am a fifth year PhD candidate at The Ohio State University. My research really is about using mass spectrometry for clinical diagnostics. So I'm a method developer.
Wow. Love methods. Nice. So let's get started with the questions. Can you tell us about your experience as a Black LGBTQ plus grad student at Ohio State and how you felt supported not only from your research group, but also from the department and the institution?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I came to Ohio State right after undergrad. And it was very interesting, like having to be like, oh, well, I guess I got to come out again to more people because you get comfortable in a space and it's like, oh, I have to do this all over again to figure out like, oh, are people going to be receptive of my identities? Is it going to be a big deal? But luckily I did have a positive experience so far being at Ohio State. My friends knew first before like I told my group, but like I didn't really make a big deal about it. I just started like tweeting about it a little more often. Like, well, you know,
yeah. Look at the hand. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm not shy about it at all. But I think it's been really helpful to have a supportive research lab, to have supportive friends. The department does, you know, try to do their best at supporting people of color and also people in the LGBTQ plus community. I think Ohio State does do a really good job at providing extra resources, trying to keep everything inclusive and have different organizations kind of put in place for supporting students like us.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying about like just the constant like coming out. Like you kind of like just you stay coming out to people if you like, yes. If you want to grasp at all like how supportive of a work environment or like it's going to be. It's like it's kind of funny at this point how many times like I've come out to people in like different places and stuff. But yeah, I totally get that. But it's great that you've found it to be supportive. Did you find it pretty supportive like from the get-go, or I'm interested in hearing like since you've been there for 5 years or so, like how have you seen the department grow in terms of like inclusivity and supporting both people of color and queer people? And yeah,
that's a great question. I think at first it wasn't like an in-your-face kind of support. It was just like a people in the culture department, like there were individual people that were really supportive. Now they're trying to do a really good job at naming things that they're doing and like being like, oh, we're gonna, you know, have these initiatives for queer folks or for people of color or for the disabled, things like that. So they have this new initiative that's called the Joint Diversity Team. So it's similar to how like the lab safety officers work, but each of the research labs has a lab diversity officer whose job it is to help foster diversity and inclusion and equity within the research lab. So then the idea is that kind of branches out. And I was on like the advisory board for it, trying to like help put it together. And I was in the meetings like, okay, well, we got to be mindful of the language that we're using. Like, if we're gonna talk about women, does that include trans women? Because if it does not include trans women, then like we're not doing it. Yeah. So I was that person in all of those meetings because it's really easy to forget that people exist at like an intersection of so many identities, and it's easy like right now with like racial tensions high. Well, let's just focus on race, and it's like no, like. That is a part of an intersection of a lot of people's identities. It's not just like one thing It's like a, you can get a little bit from because you're queer, you can get a little bit of microaggressions because you're a woman, because you're Black or, you know, Latinx, et cetera. Yeah. So they are trying to do a really good job at being more vocal and like putting names on things, which I've been really happy to be a part of, but also to get to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really important to like specifically like and explicitly name issues in your department and like initiatives, because I think like a lot of times things just get pushed under the umbrella of like DEI, like diversity, equity, and inclusion. But like, what does that mean? Like, I don't even know what that means. Like, you know, you like a department could be doing a really good job in like one issue area, but leaving behind other members of its department and things like that. So yeah, that's awesome. But
that's a really nice initiative. And like, for the most part, we're labs, like happy to do it, like get to get involved in that.
Yeah, like everybody seems to be on board with it. The chair of the department, it was her idea, and she kind of approached some of us that are already doing a lot of this work anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And was like, do you guys think that's a good idea? And I was like, well, yes, mm-hmm. but here are all of the caveats that we need to really think about. But like all of the research groups have been really supportive. Everybody's accounted for. So far, so good. We haven't gotten anyone that's like, I don't want to do this. So.
That's awesome.
That's good.
We'll see.
Yeah. It always takes time to see if like these initiatives are actually like doing anything, like bringing about good change and stuff. But yeah, anyway. So on our last episode, we were able to hear from Sammy Mensah and about like how the idea of Black in Chem, this organization/social media campaign, I don't know how you would describe it, was kind of formed. So you're also the co-founder and part of the leadership team for that. So could you tell us about your experience working with this initiative and also kind of explain how important it is to bring attention to the contributions of Black chemists in this specific scientific community. Yeah, sorry, that was a lot, but.
No, you're totally fine. Black in Chem was the thing that I did not know I needed last year. And really because it kind of happened on accident. And I think it was one of my favorite happy accidents. So I remember just being on Twitter trying to get people to pay attention to these tweets. And then it was literally overnight, it was like, oh, chemists are doing this. We're going to get behind this. We're going to throw you money. We're going to, you know, all these celebrities are going to be like, hey, this is really great. All this stuff. Like MC Hammer wished me a happy birthday.
Iconic.
Yeah. And like everybody was like, wait, what? I was like, well, we're Twitter best friends. So I think what has been so special to me about Black in Chem is that it just really brought together people from literally all over. People that I would probably never have met at a conference or really anywhere. But like we were able to get a group of people globally together to talk about being Black and being in chemistry and what that means and the science that we're doing. So to your other question, it was really, for me, really important that a lot of the Black in X initiatives and specifically Black in Chem aren't just like, oh, it's February. February is Black History Month. Let's focus on Black chemists then. Or let's focus on it the second week of August for the next Black chemistry. And I think for me, the goal was really to show people that like, hey, there are all of these Black people doing really great science and like your department should be inviting them to seminars. Like on the regular, like you should know if you can't. I think I remember in a meeting I had with like leadership at Ohio State in our department, and I was telling them, I was like, I mean, if you can't name a Black chemist that's doing science in your field, then like you're doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. And it was just like everybody was like, oh, I was like, I mean, it is what it is. But it's like there are things that it really brought up for folks that they're not paying as much attention as I think they thought they were. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was a lot of, oh, there might be a little more work that you have to be a little more intentional about looking at your network and looking at the people whose papers you're reading and citing and the people you're inviting, the people you call your colleagues. So I think that is also really important for me as far as like why we wanted to do this and why I'm glad that it got as big as it did.
Yeah, that's amazing. Is there anything that kind of surprised you like during the whole like planning and execution of Black in Chem week, specifically on Twitter and social media?
I did not realize how exhausted I was going to be. I was not mentally prepared. So that whole week, I didn't do anything. Like, I didn't do like traditional grad school work. Like, I was on Twitter. Like, I wake up, go to Duncan, come back, sit like at my computer, and was like trying to interact with as many people as humanly possible. All day. Because I didn't want it to feel like people were tweeting to an empty hashtag and that it felt like, oh, there are these people that put this on, but then like, we're just like random people. It's like, no, like we're a community. We're, you are my colleagues, things like that. But I was exhausted. Like I had so much fun, but it really took me like 2 weeks to recover from doing all of that for Black and Kim. So I think it was really interesting to see like all of our ideas come to life and how everything went together very nicely, and how the support that we had to even put on something as big as it was really great to see.
Yeah, very, very tiring, but very rewarding.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I think people like look at social media and they're like, oh, that's so easy. Like you just like sit down and like send out a couple tweets. But like, I know like even just from doing like social media for the podcast, I'm like, this is most of the time I don't have time for this. Most of the time it's like way out or like over my like head on how to like engage. Like it's a really special skill, like learning how to engage with people like really effectively over social media. Cause like it's like you can have like one viral tweet, but like that's very different than like building community with people and stuff. So like that's amazing. I like hats off to you.
And we were learning on the fly. Like, we were learning on the fly. Like it was one of those like, oh, okay, well, I guess we got to do this now. Like very much of people expecting stuff. So it was like, okay, let's just figure some stuff out, see what lands. And here we are.
That's amazing. So we love to get inside scoops on this show about all the wonderful projects going on. So what can you tell us about the future of Black and Kim?
Yeah, so we have a lot of things in the pipeline right now. Something really big that is we're working on is really creating or being a part of the creation of like the Black and X coalition. So with like everybody, which has been super cool. So we're co-hosting the first Black and X happy hour in 2 weeks. And we're really excited about that. But that's the biggest thing. And on top of, we're expanding the planning team for Black Chemist Week this year. So ideally, you know, bigger and better than last year, hopefully. But yeah, so it's a lot of structural changes that we're working on to try to make sure that like we're good as an organization, but also that we're connecting with folks in chemistry and then outside of chemistry. So we'll still have a lot of our similar events. Like we'll have our seminars, we'll have our wind downs. But the bigger things have been working with the other Black and X groups and forming like this huge coalition of a bunch of Black scientists. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
Truly amazing.
So on the note of science communication, you're also part of Mac Scientist, which I can see you're wearing a super cute hoodie over there, which is a platform that's dedicated to uplift, right? The voices of women of color in STEM. And you also have representation from these different areas of STEM. So could you tell us about how the inspiration of this project, where did it come from? And then how does it feel to be a role model for the next generation of scientists?
Yeah, so Mac Scientist is my baby. it is my first passion project, and it actually came out of my best friend, Carrie Alexander, and I went to see Hidden Figures, and we were in the movie theater, and we were watching it, and I was just like, wow, this is so great. How come I had no idea these women existed? And I think by Hidden Figures, we turned four. Oh, so I was just about to start, I was in grad school, and it was just one of those things for me. Like I remember not seeing someone that looked like me until I got to undergrad. And it was just like, that's late for a lot of people. Like if you don't have a certain drive in high school or in middle school, it's like, what are your chances of going into STEM and then staying if you don't have people that look like you? When I graduated at Pitt, it was three Black students in my year in the chemistry department. And I was the only woman. And I just so happened to have Dr. Renee Robinson, who's a Black woman. She's now at Vanderbilt, but she was my academic advisor. So it was just like, all right, cool. Like, it's you and me. Like, I can talk to you. You can give me the tea. Like, okay, well, what's this about to be like when I get to grad school? And I just remember vividly thinking in the movie theater, like, I don't want it to take another movie or people to have to be at the end of their lives to realize like, hey, there are people that look like me that are doing these things. So we sat there after the movie and I was like, Carrie, I have an idea. And I thought the easiest way to really just tell our stories was in a blog. Like, I was in Pittsburgh for undergrad. I was moving to Columbus. Carrie is in New York with work. And it was just like, okay, well, we can't do things together really, like in a physical space, because we're far. So let's just start a blog and let's just like talk about what we have going on, do a little bit of science communication as far as like our academic series, which is more technical. And then I went to like recruitment mode. I was like, all right, well, I'm the science, Carrie's the technology. We need an engineer and we need somebody doing math. And we were going that night to visit our other friend, Courtney. And I was like, all right, Court, I have an idea. And like, we pitched it to her and she was on board. And then I texted one of my friends from college, Shoyo, and was like, hey, I think you'd be perfect for this. And we need an engineer. And then that is kind of how that got started. But the name is a nickname that my aunt gave me when I was in high school. So cute. I've always been a scientist. Like, I was always a thing that people wanted to, and I have an affinity for MAC cosmetic lipstick. So that is where MAC scientist came from. Yeah. And we were like thinking about it. I was like, this is the perfect name for it, to just show that like women don't have to just be scientists or like mathematicians. We're allowed to be multifaceted. We're allowed to have other interests. One of mine just so happens to be lipstick. So we're just going to, you know, roll with that. But that's how that got started. Mm-hmm. But to your other question about what it feels like being a role model, I think every time someone calls me a role model, I still am like, wait, are we sure? Like, are you talking about me? Like, really? Because it happened the other week and I like talked to a 10th grade class just about like my journey, what it's been like as a Black woman in STEM. And the teacher emailed me the sweetest email on my birthday about how like he said that everybody, people were inspired, and how in the next 5 to 10 years, I'm going to be in someone's like chemistry origin story. And I bawled my eyes out. I was like, you know, I'm just sitting here telling people, you know, like about what it's been like for me and like what works for me, but that it resonates with so many people has just been very humbling. So
yeah, that literally just gave me chills.
Yeah, that's like that's so powerful. Like,
yeah, it is very powerful.
Because we all know, especially people who come from like marginalized backgrounds or identities, like we all have like an origin story, and normally there are like very instrumental teachers and scientists and people we've heard at talks and whatever that have like kind of stuck in our brain to tell us that like, hey, this is actually like something that I can do. And so yeah, that's like, that's so cool. Like, like, there's no doubt, like, you are going to be, like, at least someone's story. Yeah.
We were talking when we were, like, preparing for the interview and, like, making the questions and stuff. But, like, I don't know. I'm, like, so nervous. She's, like, so amazing. I don't know how to ask all these questions, you know?
Yeah, we get like, really, like, starstruck with some of our interviews. And, like, I feel like we're interviewing, like, royalty.
Yes.
And, like, oh, wow. You all are sweet. Far too kind.
So a follow-up of that question, what has been the most rewarding experience so far working with MAC scientists?
Yeah, one thing that we always do with MAC scientists is we go to the annual National Society for Black Engineers Conference, so the NSBE conference, and we do a workshop. So just the idea that their NSBE is fine with like a grad student and some very young professionals doing a workshop to talk. We talk about goal setting. And it's a two-part workshop. So we did like part one, first year, part two, the second year. So we now have it down to a science about how we do this workshop. But really just getting a chance to connect with students is something that I have always loved, which is why I'm a huge student advocate. Like, anything that I do is never for me, it's for everybody else. And I think being able to use the platform to reach that demographic has been very rewarding these last 4 years.
Amazing. Oh, yeah. And I recommend people go and go to blog and read. I was doing some reading preparing for the interview.
Yeah.
The blogs are amazing. And like you said, you have different areas like academics, you have also social, you have like different areas of blogs that are really like, there's not a lot of places you can go and read about this, you know? Places like this are so important. So like, it's amazing. Thank you for that. And to your friends too, of course.
Yeah, definitely. So kind of going along with that, of this kind of mentorship type role that you've taken on through doing Mac Scientists. You've also mentored several students during your graduate career and have actively participated in bringing representation of minoritized groups in STEM at Ohio State, serving as the president of the National Organization for the Professional Advancement for Black Chemists and Chemical Engineers, NOBCHE, it's a mouthful.
I know.
And then also as the vice president of the Black Graduate and Professional Student Caucus. So you have done a lot, obviously, during your graduate career within your own context. So why would you say it's important to provide this type of visibility and through your mentorship experience with these younger students, how has that influenced your goals throughout your professional career?
Yeah, I love the fact that I have mentored a bunch of students. I think I'm at 9 as a grad student, which
is
very crazy. And I didn't realize it was so many until my advisor was like, write down everyone's name on your CV. And I was like, what? He's like, write them all down. And I was like, all right. So I was just typing. I was like, okay, here are my undergraduates. Here are my high school students. And I was like, oh, I guess you have been a little bit, you've been a little busy while I've been here.
Just a little.
Not crazy. I wear a lot of hats all the time. But I think for me, I've always had really good mentors. So I always knew going into grad school that I wanted to mentor other students. A lot of my undergrads have gone to med school. I did get one in grad school though. So I will take that. I'm cool with that. But I think I always knew that the whole I got here because people were there for me, and I didn't want other students to feel like they didn't have anybody for them. Because even with NOBCHE, I'll throw out Joy Rutherford. She's a fourth year. She's an organic chemist. She's a Black woman. And Joy's year, when they came, we got them in the summertime. Like, we were like, look, this is, you know, orientation week. Come talk to NOBCHE. So they felt obligated, thought it was like a real thing. And we were like, no, we just strategically planned this for during your orientation week. And I, with them, I had an open door policy. Like, I have, my lab has a group office, but every time a student comes in, they're like, Devin, you have a student coming in. And I told them that if anything happens, like, you could come talk to me about literally anything. We can talk about classes, we can talk about research, we can just talk about life. And because I think for me, it was always really important that I had those people that I wanted to be that person for all of the students. I mean, it really just gives them someone that looks like them that can relate to their experiences. Like, I know what it's like being one of few. When I got to Ohio State fall 2016, it was just me. Like, nobody else in my class looked like me. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, but like, we had other Black students in the department, but the people I was taking classes with, for the most part, the people I was getting socialized with did not look like me. And so I think that really fueled a lot of my advocacy work at Ohio State, where it's like, I don't want somebody to come in and not have a buddy, at least, or like not know that there's like a support system, or that it's like streamlined. Like, we wanted the department to know that, like, hey, NOBCHE is here. Or even with the Black Caucus, that's for all Black graduate and professional students. So it's like the largest consortium of Black people at Ohio State. So we wanted to just make sure that people knew that we existed and we had resources to help people. And we really gave them community. And like, we're relatively communal people. And I think just being able to have people that might be in your departments or out of your departments that can like catch your references when you're making a joke is so important. Because that like helps people feel at home and that they're more likely to stay if they feel supported in that way. So that's really just been my motivation, I suppose, for why I do the 1,000,003 things that I do.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, and I feel like initiatives like that really, I'm sure, help combat like imposter syndrome and things like that. If you're if you're hearing somebody who is similar to you, like even in a small way, like is similar to you and maybe has a similar story as you, like hearing them kind of say like, I've been through this and I'm feeling what you're feeling, it's kind of like the most validating experience you can get, I think. It's like, you're not crazy for like feeling out of place or for looking around and wondering like, why am I the only one here? That like, why am I the only one with, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, I'm sure that I can only imagine that like NOBCHE and like the Black Grad and Professional Student Caucus, like how much that has helped people, like you're saying, feel at home and just kind of combat all of that stuff in our head that makes us feel like we don't belong in a certain place.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So that's amazing.
Yeah. So switching gears a little bit, how are you celebrating Black History Month?
I have taken February for myself.
We love that.
I'm a very busy lady. And it's, I think for this month, it was really January was all about dissertating. Like I wanted to make sure that like I got a draft of my dissertation done. So February has really just been that awkward like limbo of waiting to hear back from my committee, like working on my presentation, studying a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I also want to be excited about my move. Like I'm moving to New Jersey to start a senior scientist position at Merck. So I'm super excited about that.
Super exciting.
Love
thank
to see
you,
it.
Yeah.
And I think I just have really been taking February to reset and really just sit back and be like, you know, you've actually done a lot in this 5 years and like be proud of myself that like I've accomplished something. Like I'm about to get a PhD. Let's just take a break. Like you don't have to work every single, just because your calendar is free does not mean you have to fill it. So I'm trying to be, you know, better about that because I'm terrible with that. So that's really what I've been doing. That's what I've been doing this month.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you have pretty much kept a jam-packed schedule for your entirety of grad school. So you deserve some time.
Thank you. Thank you.
So how do you think those in the chemistry field can better uplift the support the stories and lives of Black chemists?
I think something that people can do is really just make sure it's not just in February when you're talking about Black chemists. And like I was mentioning earlier, like something as simple as inviting Black professors to come speak is a very easy way to introduce their work to the world. It also helps them. So that's something we do for Nobuche. Like I always bring a pre-tenured Black faculty member to come talk at Ohio State. One, because we're not a small university. We have a little name recognition.
Yeah.
And it helps their tenure package. Like, yeah, come to Ohio State and talk about your research, but also go meet with a bunch of people in your field, meet with students. So those are really easy things that people can do. They also can really just get tapped into Black organizations that are already doing this work and finding ways to support them. So like getting on the email list, showing up to their events, spreading the word about their events, helping them find money to do the things they want to do. I think those are really good ways that people can actually support Black chemists that aren't exclusive to being in February or during Black chemists.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, nice. So switching gears a little bit, how would you say that your identities as a Black LGBTQ plus woman have affected, if in any way, your career thus far?
Yeah, I think it's made me hyper aware of everything. It's like, I'm always on the lookout for, okay, here's a microaggression. Which one of my identities is this microaggression about? Yeah. So I think it's really just made me more aware of the fact that everything is very intersectional and that a lot of students don't necessarily have a voice or feel like they can have a voice. So I think that me being as outspoken as I am and having these identities has really just fueled my activism. It's fueled my advocacy work. I mean, it's really gotten me to where I am today. And I think it's been a lot of fun being able to exist at this very unique intersection, and how I view the world is very different than how a lot of other people view the world. So just using that to fuel the things that I do, the things that I like put my name on, has just been really fun. And also challenging in ways too. Like it's not hard being, you know, a Black queer woman in a space that is not for me and any of my identities. Like there is no way that chemistry was set up for this. So just me getting to this point is just like a walking testimony. Like, hey, you know, you can do this too. So I think that's also been motivating, knowing that like I can be paving the way for other Black queer chemists to get to this point and then beyond this point.
Yeah, it's really amazing how you've done something that I'm sure is not easy, of bringing your full self into this space that was not created for you, nor created to support you, I'm sure, in any way. Just like showing up completely and really blending that with your research and your time in graduate school and your advocacy work and really finding a way to merge it all in a way that like I feel like we don't see very often. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just amazing. I mean, I'm sure you hear that. I'm sure you get the utmost compliments all the time, but like that really is something just that is inspiring to me, even mm-hmm. just yeah. like your ability to not shy away from bringing your full self into all that you do.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course.
So we got to hear your experience with Mac Sciences, but what advice would you give to those interested in organizing groups or ideas or spaces to bring visibility like to different groups of people, but are not sure like what the first step to take or what the first step would be?
Yeah, that's so hard. So mm-hmm. I think the only reason Mac Sciences has worked for 4 years is because there was passion there. Because like we were all willing to do the work for it. So I think really good piece of advice is figure out what you're passionate about mm-hmm. and then see where you fit. I think everybody has different talents. And I think mm-hmm. playing into your actual talents is helpful. Because if you like mm-hmm. something, then you're going to want to do it. And though it'll feel like work, you won't get as tired of it as easy because you're like, wait, right. no, I actually like this. And I see mm-hmm. the purpose for it. Then I think another really cool thing to do is just find a group of people to support you. Mac Sciences in the beginning was just me trying to get my friends and family like, I just need y'all to like retweet this. I need you to share it on Facebook. Like before, so until we get like traction for the demographic that we want, but I think having like a core group of support is also really important for organizing any kind of group, whether it's a blog or a social media campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Great advice. So nearing the end, we asked this question to all of our interviewees. Who is your chemistry role model and why? And you can have more than one answer.
I always say it's Dr. Renee Robinson. So I'm going to tweet her and be like, look, I talked about you again. And I always say her outside of the fact that, you know, she was someone that I could identify. Like she was another Black woman that, you know, she's an analytical chemist. She does mass spec. Like, I'm analytical chemist. I now do mass spec. I think what I love so much about her is how genuine she is. And anyone that has met her always talks about how hard she goes for her students. And that is just literally how I got to grad school. Like when I first walked in her office, I was like, I'm going to get a master's in forensics and I'm going to work. And it was never like, our meetings were never, Devin, what classes are you going to take? Because she knew I had already come in like, look, I'm taking this, that, and the third. Let's just talk about other stuff. But she really took the time to like get to know me and my interests. And I trusted her. So when she was like, I think you should go get a PhD. And I was like, what? What are you saying? Like, I don't even know what that means. What does that look like? And she then was like, I think you should do it in analytical. Like, I know you want to do forensics, but we can find you an internship. And then, but I think for grad school, you should do this. But like, I trusted her, you know, so she knew me way better than I knew myself because now I'm not doing forensics now that I'm leaving. But I think it was always so special to me that she took an interest in me and was such an integral part of my story because she's why I'm here. She even used one of my first paper in her class. She was teaching instrumental analysis for undergrads. And she walked up to me at a conference and was like, I have to tell you something. I used your paper to, you know, for the students to read. And I was like, you're going to make me cry right here in the middle of this hallway. Because she's always been that person that has like constantly believed in me and like wants me to succeed. And like, mm-hmm. we keep tabs on each other. So she is 100% my chemistry role model.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, that is so sweet. That, like, what an honor also mm-hmm. for, like, a professor to, like, right. wow. Incredible. Mm.
So we got our last question. Where can people follow you on social media if they want to connect with you? And if you want to also talk about Black Scientist, Black in Chem, and all the social medias you want to plug in there.
Yeah, so many social medias. The one-stop shopping is following me on Twitter at mm-hmm. Devin_11. That is one-stop shopping. Mac Sciences, we have our own social media that's at Mac Sciences with an S on the end. And then Black in Chem is at Black in Chem. So any of those three places are where you can find me.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. But we are both just huge fans of you. And yes. So we're just honored to have you on our little podcast. Mm-hmm. And yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
This was fun.
And best of luck at Merck and with the rest of your final semester of graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you. Of course. All right. It's nice talking to you. Bye.
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 Thank you to everyone that has donated to our Patreon. We really appreciate it. You can find out how to support us more in the link tree on our Twitter. And remember, Black Lives Matter today and every day.
We hope that y'all being safe and healthy and continuing to support each other during this pandemic. Remember to fill out the nomination form on our Twitter if you're interested in being interviewed for the show. You can follow us at MFQCpod. Take care, everybody, and stay safe. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Adios.